Hello and welcome back to the season two premiere of the Getting to Know You podcast. I'm Jacob Bradley and I'm joined today by a good friend of mine. I'm joined by Jill Plant. Jill, how are you?
I'm good. I just got my dongle from my MacBook as the mail room from Riggs just sent me an email.
There you go. So it's been a big day so far.
Oh, yeah.
But all right, Jill. I guess we'll get straight into it. I'm knocking some of the rust off myself by doing this, but why don't you just tell everybody that might not know that much about you who you are?
I am Jillian Mary Plant. I'm from Prospect, Connecticut. It's a small town near Waterbury. It's really next to Waterbury, but I usually just say in the New Haven area because nobody knows Waterbury.
Yeah.
I have a sister, Rita. She actually was the GM of her radio station in college. Now she works at Live Nation. I have a mom and a dad.
That's nice.
That was really cute. Clyde from the Burial Ground just sent me a text message that says, "You're an inspiration to us all."
Aw, oh, there you go. I'll leave that one in.
Okay.
Tell me about your parents.
Okay. So I'm going to put that away so I don't see anything.
Yeah.
But my parents are pretty awesome. I mean, my mom is probably my biggest support ever. I still call her every day. And I still talk to her every day.
Nice.
My dad, I don't really talk to him too much, but I still love him. And
right.
I probably attribute a lot of my character and work to him, because whenever I was a little kid, he would always be on business trips or he'd always be working late.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I really just saw that and I was like, okay, that's how I have to be. That's how you're gonna succeed in the world. So I just kind of modeled that after my dad, and I'm always trying to grind and, you know, doing hard, doing work.
Yeah.
So, I love you, Dad.
So you're telling me that your mom will most likely be listening to this?
Oh, yeah. She'll probably be listening to this. She'll probably share it with all of her friends, make everyone at her office listen to it.
There we go. I'll take it. It's more publicity for us. But, yeah. So hello to, Mrs. Plant at home. But,
Helen.
Yeah, you just, recently, at time of recording, you just were named the topper of the week. And we were in the office the other day, or probably yesterday, and you said you're going to call your mom and talk to her about that. So that, for all of us, was just kind of an insight on how your mom, what you just said pretty much on how your mom is, you know, she's your biggest supporter.
Yeah.
So that's really nice. I appreciate that. It was a nice moment.
I think her exact words, I didn't even get to say hi. She goes, "Hello, Miss Topper of the Week."
No, it was really nice. But let's go back to your dad for a minute. So growing up, watching him be very hardworking and always out all the time. So that's something that you say you've tried to emulate of his?
Yeah, I mean, he started his own business. He was at this company called GDC. It's computer. I don't know the whole thing. So it's he did computer stuff. He was a computer nerd.
Mm-hmm.
And then he left that company. Well, I guess he got fired from the company because the whole company shut down. But he left that company and then started his own company with computer fibers. And I've started to learn a little bit about computer fibers from television work. But fibers really run everything, I guess. And there were some big name companies that were really interested in his company. It went well for a while. And then recently the company was sold and he was laid off and he found another job. But I mean, he built that company in my basement, really.
Wow.
So it was really awesome to see that.
Yeah.
We thought we were going to move to Minnesota.
Really?
For a time.
What happened there? What changed that?
I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure they just decided not to move the company out there, or it just wasn't good enough for the company, so they stayed in Connecticut.
Yeah. Do you ever think, and this might just be a complete side question, but how much your life would have changed if you did move to Minnesota back then?
It would have been weird. I don't know how I would have taken like life in Minnesota. It would have been very cold. I probably would have known more about hockey.
There you go.
But I don't know how it would have been.
You never know. You could, you might have wound your way back up here. You never know. Probably not. But so your dad was very much into building up his own type of business. So what was the real inspiration for you to want to do what you do, like as far as broadcasting stuff goes?
I've always loved it, video making in particular, from like a young age. It probably sounds like very generic, like
no, but it's the truth.
Yeah, it is. I remember getting like a video camera from, I just like remember finding one from my mom, and I grabbed it and I started making videos in the basement. I don't know if anyone remembers the song Bang Bang by Jesse James.
How could you forget the song?
Ariana Grande. And Nicki Minaj, I think.
I think so.
But basically, I sat in my basement. I found this like off-color, like green sheet or whatever, hung it up on a bar in my basement, and put on like five different onesies.
Okay.
And just, you know, cut myself and did like a split screen of me as Jesse James, Ariana Grande, and Nicki Minaj in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle onesie. And ever since then, I've just really loved broadcasting.
that's definitely probably the most unique story I've heard, but that's I love it though. I mean, it's the truth. No. You know, these things just they kind of spawn off of really, you know, just what you see and what you want to learn.
Yeah.
And but other than like, you know, that type of stuff, like broadcasting, was there ever any other thing that you thought, this is something that I'm interested in and want to wind up doing forever?
Probably like music. I play trombone. I don't have any time to do it right now. It's really kind of sad because I'm taking like a ton of classes, and I'm going to graduate early, and I just don't have time to do that.
Yeah.
But I used to play like every weekend and every week for years. I would drive an hour away from my home to go play in an orchestra, and it like was probably the best experience ever. And
wow.
We actually got to go to Iceland and Scotland. I got my first job so I could save up to pay for that trip.
That's crazy.
So we went over there and we played at a cathedral in Scotland. We were able to do a little sightseeing. We played at another like landmark in Iceland. We did that. Got to do a little sightseeing in Iceland, which Iceland is beautiful and I would love to go back.
Wow.
It's just like, you know, music can take you anywhere, and I really want to get back into it. I'm probably going to join a community orchestra when I go back home and have a little bit more time.
Okay.
There's few that I know of, and I'm not looking to be like Beethoven or something. It's just something that like actually genuinely just brings me happiness.
And
I like to do. I'm not trying to like, you know, be the best ever.
Right.
But I actually did, going back to the original question of like, what do you think you would have done?
Mm-hmm.
You were into broadcasting. I thought about the military for a long time. I wanted to be in the like military band.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was really awesome, because all they do is just play music and travel around the world, and they're not going to ask the trombonist to go fight in a war.
You'd hope not, at least.
You hope it doesn't get that bad. But I have asthma and a nut allergy.
There you go.
So that is an immediate disqualification from service. So.
There you go. You'll be just playing the trombone while everybody else is out fighting.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to pay for my travel.
But where does that musical taste come from? Is your family musical?
Not really. My mom can't sing. She's awful at singing. I guess it was my grandmother. She unfortunately died before I was born, so I didn't get to meet her.
Mm-hmm.
I have a cousin, Jackie, who is pretty musical, but my dad has a great love for musical instruments and just has great appreciation for it.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, really, music is like almost comparable to like athletics.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just like, you know, like God is like, oh, you can music or not music.
Right.
It's like really, it's hours in a practice room. And people like actually like hurt themselves if they don't like practice like correctly.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely just a lot of practice.
Huh. Yeah. So when you I guess we can talk a little bit. Let's actually go back. When did you start picking up music? You might have said it. I don't remember.
you know, when you get into like middle school, they're like, you can either choir or do like a musical instrument.
Mm-hmm.
I started off playing trumpet and I was really bad at it.
Really?
I was really, really bad at it. So I was in jazz band one day. They were like, we need someone to play a low brass instrument. And I raised my hand and I was like, I suck at trumpet. Give me something else. So I grabbed a trombone and I sat and I learned it by myself. And then I begged and cried for like probably a few months for my parents to like get me music lessons so I could grow even more.
Mm-hmm.
And that was I eventually was able to like convince them to get me into music lessons. And that's where I met this guy. His name is Nick Casullo. And he was my music teacher for like 5 or 6 years. He's just a great guy. And he's probably mad at me because that I'm not playing right now. But yeah, he's a great guy. I already forgot what I was saying.
It's okay. No, you're just mainly talking about music and playing that all throughout. Was that something that you always... Like, was there a time where you said that that's what I want to do? Or was it more like, I'm going to try to do both?
I don't think I ever wanted to do both. I wanted to do one or the other, definitely. Oh, yeah. The closest I got was, because I also really like Broadway and like musicals and stuff. Closest I got to like doing both was thinking about maybe becoming a reporter or doing some video production for Broadway musicals. Wow. In New York for like Broadway.com.
Yeah.
They do like shows and video productions and like, you know, we'll film Broadway shows and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or just doing anything like that. But it was really either playing music in like a pit orchestra for like musicals on Broadway would be like the ultimate goal for music. But or, you know, broadcasting or doing something live.
Yeah. No, that would have been, I didn't even know that about Broadway.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Broadway.com.
Yeah, about that. But so moving forward now as you're getting older in high school, was there ever any other things that you did other than just band and broadcasting stuff?
This leads us into the Timber Team.
Yeah, I knew the answer. I just wanted to get it there.
Timber Team. So Timber Team, I was doing that for 3 years, and I was one of the best bow-sawers in Connecticut. There's only 2 schools, but I was still one of the best bow-sawers in Connecticut.
There you go.
And basically we threw axes and we sawed wood and we rolled logs. And we threw logs too, actually.
Yeah.
So shout out Coach Murdy. Shout out. I'll try and bring a Timber Team to Oswego in my last 2 months.
Why not? I'd join.
Yeah, honestly, it's really fun. Yeah. Like, you're throwing axes. It sounds like really dangerous, but it's not. Like, we spray paint, like, lines down on the grass, and everyone has to stay behind the line till everyone's done throwing.
Okay.
I wish I could say there's, like, an inspirational quote about Timber Team or something, but I don't know. It's just genuinely fun. Like, a lot of, like, the nerdy kids and the rejects went there. So it was marketed as a sport for non-traditional people or that want to do a sport who just feel like they don't fit into something like traditional.
Yeah.
So I did Timber Team. Well, I kind of did it because there was a boy I liked on it, but I ended up growing to like it.
There you go. So not to, you know, get kind of deep on you here, but it's, you say that it was kind of like for the unconventional kids or the kids that were maybe outcasts.
Yeah.
Is that something that you viewed of yourself?
Yeah, I'm definitely weird. I mean, I'm definitely weird, and I know it, but I kind of embrace it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at least I'm interesting.
Was there a time that maybe you didn't necessarily embrace that in yourself?
Yeah, definitely, like, freshman year of college. Freshman year of high school. There was other factors, like, my mom had cancer. So, you know, that kind of messes up your psyche for a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's better now. It was fine. But that definitely, you know, can screw up your mind a little bit. And just going into high school, I was weird. When I was a little girl, I used to, like, shop in the boys section and stuff. And just, like, trying to fit in and being, like, a girly girl, mm-hmm. which I would never consider myself to ever be a girly girl. You know, I'm very much like, you know, kind of tomboy mm-hmm. a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I definitely think I was a little weird and didn't fit in, but I just tried my best to hang out with people who accepted me for who I am, because I kind of stopped wearing like boys' clothes, which is fine. I mean, yeah. At this point, I'm just going for comfort right now, so I'm kind of wearing boys' clothes right now. So, but other than that, I mean, I transitioned myself into like being more girly, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm happy with it.
Right.
But there are some things I was never, I'm not going to change about myself, you know, like ever.
And that's a good thing, you know. You, at the end of the day, it shouldn't be about what other people think. It should be how happy you are,
yeah.
and how you feel about yourself and the way you look and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's always okay not to be happy. You know what
yeah.
I mean? There's ways that you can fix those things, but at the end of the day, it's all about taking care of yourself. But was there ever a moment for you when, or I guess there was a moment because you just said that there was, but where it all like clicked and where you said, "Forget about all this. I'm gonna actually." Like, be okay with myself.
It was either like junior or senior year of high school. Probably more like senior year. So I've been like broken up with, and like
mm-hmm.
it was like I tried to be somebody who I wasn't for this guy. But that's what happens with all kind of young girls, I guess.
Yeah.
They kind of, you know, try and be somebody. And I was like, that's really dumb. Like, it's just super dumb. I should just be myself, and, you know, everything will fall in line from there. And everything did, and, I mean, I have a great boyfriend. And
yeah.
Hi, Mark. I love you. He's probably not going to listen this far, honestly.
Oh, come on, Mark. why don't you talk a little bit about Mark? Because I've heard you talk a lot about Mark.
I love Mark. he's just a really great guy. He just, like... I don't feel like I have to be somebody for him. Like, I'm like authentically myself, and he kind of pushes me to be better and learn something new every day. He's an electrician, and he really loves to just like build stuff and learn stuff about computers and electrical. And he's always constantly talking about how he wants to go to this. He wants to learn like HVAC stuff, which is like, you know, air conditioning and, you know, like coolants and stuff.
Mm.
And he also wants to get a real estate license. He's just always, like, wanting to do something more.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, you know, inspired me to, like, you know, want to do stuff that's, like, you know, out of my comfort zone and make myself better.
No, that's really awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds really – I mean, we met him briefly for Toppers last spring.
He's not good in social settings.
That's okay. He seemed cool. I didn't mind Mark. Mark seemed nice. But – So, you know, moving out of high school now,
mm-hmm.
You went to a community college, correct, for a couple years?
Yeah, I went to Naugatuck Valley Community College. I originally applied to Oswego when I was, like, you know, ready to go
yeah.
to college out of high school, and I was denied, which is a total loss on Oswego's part.
Yeah, it is.
And I talked to Professor Ricky about it, and he agreed with me.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I didn't get in, and it absolutely crushed me. I have like a Snapchat memory of me like crying with the letter that I got denied, because I was like, this is my dream school. I really, really want to come here. And I got denied just because my SAT scores were very low.
Really?
I got a 930 on my SATs.
That's not too, I mean, that's not like terrible.
I took it like twice.
Yeah. I think I only got like a 1020 or something like that. Okay. Wasn't, I mean, but that's not too far off. Like,
yeah. But I mean, honestly, it served me better because, even in high school, I felt like nothing was ever like easy mm-hmm. given to me. Just to backtrack a little bit, in high school, there was this like class called like digital media movie making. So I applied to get into that class, and I didn't get in that class. So what I did instead was just showed up to the club every single day, and then slowly from that I just started to show up to his office every day and just eat breakfast with him in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I would just stay there with him.
Okay.
And like, you know, and then he came up to me at the end of that year and goes, you don't need to go through my digital media one class anymore because you've already learned all this stuff. And you showed me that you have the ability and interest. So I'm just going to skip you into the advanced course. So I was able to do that. And it was kind of similar to like Oswego too, because I did the community college and then pandemic started. So nothing was really going on at my community college anyways. So I just kind of, when I got into Oswego eventually, when I got the Oswego email address, I immediately started reaching out to all the media organizations on campus, even though I wasn't here.
Yeah.
And started to get involved. And I got involved a little bit, edited some videos, did my own podcast actually on WMIO, the Northeast Notables, all from my bedroom in Connecticut under false pretenses, but it's okay. So I did that, and okay, so I was going from, help me remember where I was.
So you're talking about the pandemic hit, okay. And then you came here and you were going to start reaching out to all the orgs.
Okay. Yeah, so reaching out to all the orgs, I finally get here, I show up to WTOP, I try to do a little bit of the NYO stuff, I just didn't have any time in my schedule.
Yeah.
So I showed up to WTOP, made my face very, like, you know, shown, like, known around the office, and I kind of, like, kept my ears open, but my mouth shut a little bit, and, like, learned a lot, and then at the end of my first semester here, I went up to somebody who was in the role of original productions director, Chris, and he said he was going to be not in that position the next semester. So I went up to him and I said, I want your position. And he was like, yeah, okay. And then we, you know, eventually got it all worked out, and I'm now the original productions director.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that for the past like two semesters, which is awesome. So I'm, you know, directing all, well, not directing, but helping get all the shows that we have at WTOP to air. It's really demanding, but yeah, you know, it's just like, you know, sometimes you have to take an unconventional route, and especially like on that line, I wasn't able to get an internship over the summer. So I just started working as freelance utility with ESPN, and I did some camera work for a TED Talk event in New Haven, Connecticut. And I started doing some football stuff too, like as a utility with ESPN. So it's just really like nothing is ever going to be given to you. You really have to just, you know, get off your ass.
Yeah,
and
no,
go find it and go do it yourself.
No, and just from watching, like, you know, I know there's a lot of other people in the office as well, but just watching you do it, and like, I feel like, you know, I always seem to forget that you're, you know, going to graduate in a few months here, but like, you know, it seems like, just watching like you go out and do all these freelancing stuff and do, you know, ESPN and TED Talks and just all these crazy things. You're going to do Monday Night Football in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Like that's insane. And like, you know, I view us kind of in the same light, is that we both kind of came into this stuff at the same time, even though, like you said, you had a little bit of experience beforehand doing some of the stuff during the pandemic. But, you know, we were in the same class together, kind of came up together. We're kind of like, you know, two of the like new ones that were around quite frequently.
Yeah.
So it always is just kind of, it's a little bit like inspiring to me in a way, like you just mentioned, like Clyde saying you're an inspiration to all of us.
Oh my God,
and
Clyde.
To kind of tie that back into like this, like I agree with that sentiment as well. Like just watching you do this stuff over the summer was like super cool to see. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to like brag or seem like,
no, go ahead, about
it.
Brag.
Like, it's cool. And, like, I really want to, like, you know, get more people into it. I think it's awesome because at the Syracuse game I did, there was, like, three or four Oswego alumni or students there. And I think it would be awesome to get even more Oswego people out there.
Yeah.
Because it really is, like, a family of, like, people.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people who I worked with at WNBA games in Connecticut all the way up here in Syracuse working. And they all remember me.
Yeah.
I didn't remember them, and they were slightly offended that I didn't remember them. I was like, oh, yeah, I totally remember you. Yeah.
I love it. But yeah, going, I guess, off the base of that and going from the – oh, I remember – I was going to say something. I don't remember what I was going to say. But I feel like it's kind of thrown to us a lot that the route to be anywhere in the business is you got to come here, and then you got to do an internship. You got to get another internship, and then you can go out and have a job. The way, like, but I feel like nobody really talks about the importance of like freelance opportunities and connecting through these freelance opportunities and, you know, going, okay, I worked at this WNBA game with this person that worked with this person who went to Oswego, and getting that connection instantly and just growing from that. So how was your experience as far as connecting? I know you just kind of talked about it a little bit, but like connecting with people and, you know, potentially looking into the future saying, I can have a job here, 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 here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, so there were some people who I met at the WNBA games that I saw here getting Syracuse, but I did like 5 of those games back home. So every time I would kind of like talk to him a little bit more. I worked with this one camera guy named Rob, and I love you, Rob. he gave me a hug on the last day.
How nice.
I got his number, and it's really just, you know, you really just gotta, you know, talk to them, and you can't seem like pushy and annoying. Because when I walked in the other day, when we did the Syracuse game, we were able to eat, we ate lunch, our crew lunch at the Oswego dining hall, and everyone saw us with ESPN shirts on, and they were all like rabid mobs, like trying to attack us to network. You got to be cool about it. You know, you can't just like go up to people and be like, blah, 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 blah. Look at what I did. Look at this. Blah, blah. No, they're going to think you're kind of like a joke.
Yeah.
You got to be like, you know, you got to be a bro. You got to be like chill and just, you know, talk to these people like they're not gods. They're just people too.
Yeah.
So you just really just got to show, let your work like speak for you. It's not just like your mouth speaking.
Yeah, you said it earlier how, you know, you shut your mouth and you listen more. And
yeah,
I think that's totally a good thing to take away from anything. It's just, you know, you got one mouth and two ears for a reason.
Yeah, there, one of my mentors, his name is Ralph Riello. He was my high school teacher, still keep in contact with. He used to do freelancing too. He was a big guy, used to work at ESPN and did a lot of the X Games. He has a few Emmys. And he always gave me information, like good inspirational information like that. Like, you know, you got to keep your mouth shut. Like, even if you have a big mouth, as a lot of people do in like the broadcasting world, you just got to, you know, keep your head down, and it'll make you more marketable. Cause you're like, if you just like listen a lot, you can hear like, you know, what you need to learn. And if you're talking about, look what I did, you're not going to learn anything.
Yeah.
So you really, and then also you have to be willing to be the first one there and the last one to leave. When I was doing some of the WNBA stuff, my crew call was like sometimes like as early as 4:30, 4 a.m.
Wow.
4:30, 4 a.m. And I would get there at 4 a.m., maybe even like 3:55. And I'd be the first one there looking around. My operations coordinating producers weren't even there yet. I'm looking around waiting for people to come. They're always like, oh yeah, you're always here early, and you're always, you know, even last one to leave too. There was one day in particular that rings a bell. It was a set day. So half the crew was there, and we were just, you know, setting up the arena. We couldn't do too much because there was a concert that had to happen. And then the people at Mohegan were going to take all the stuff down, and then we could set completely. So we were really only supposed to be there for like a few hours.
Okay.
I only had to run cables from the truck to an in and out box on the wall, which is about 20 feet away from the truck, which I did in 20 minutes. And then I sat there for the rest of the day, but I didn't just sit there on my phone. I like went up and actively like talking to people, was interested, was trying to help them, you know. And that was another thing. I went up to people and I asked them, like, do you need help? Like, what do you need me to do? And like, I would do weird stuff. Like, I had to take a back off a chair for somebody. So I'm like sitting there with an Allen wrench taking off backs of chairs. But they said to me, wow, it's a utility that wants to work.
Yeah, wow.
So yeah, it's just really like you gotta have a good work ethic, and you just gotta work hard and let your work like speak for you. Just, you know, keep that mouth shut.
Yeah, actions speak louder than words.
Yeah, only for a little while. You can open your mouth a lot.
But going all the way back to entering into Oswego, and we know we talked about like the work side. What about like the social side? Like, you know, you come up here. Did you start up here in 2021?
Yeah.
The fall of 2021. Okay.
It's been 1 year.
1 year. So you came up here. I'm assuming you didn't have really anybody that you knew from Connecticut.
No, nobody other than one friend. Her name is Liz, and she lives off campus.
Okay.
She's not in our major. She's a science major. But funny story, we were actually in the same Girl Scout troop. We actually come from the exact same hometown.
Okay.
And it was kind of weird because we've been on Girl Scout camping trips like for like years together.
Do you speak to her still or no?
I mean, like, we're not the closest of friends, but like whenever I see her,
yeah,
I always just have like a feeling of like, okay,
there's
like,
Liz.
There's Liz. I'm a little bit closer to home.
Right. And that's such a good thing to have because, like, you know, I have the luxury of only being about 35 minutes away from home.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you drove up here the other day and it took you, what, like 5 hours?
Yep.
So, you know, just having that type of comfort here is, I'm sure it's a little reassuring. I'm sure it's not enough, but I'm sure it's a little bit reassuring.
It's a little bit reassuring.
So how was that feeling for you heading into this new campus? Not really being like, knowing I can't really go home too often and being thrown in this brand new environment.
It was honestly terrifying. I cried in my dorm room like every night for like probably 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
My mom came up here for parents weekend, I took her a tour around campus and I like pointed out every spot that I cried in. And she was like, I didn't realize you were crying that much. And I was like, yeah, it was kind of excessive.
Yeah.
But it was hard. I mean, I never lived away from home. I did the community college route and I was 15 minutes away from my campus. I would go to work afterwards and then go home. So it was a really big adjustment. And I don't think I kept myself busy enough. Mm-hmm. And I was just, you know, when I wasn't at the studio, I was just in my dorm. And
right.
I didn't have much to do.
Yeah.
I didn't actively try and really make friends. They came like later.
Mm.
But I wish I, you know, had tried to make friends more. I wish I tried to make friends with you more often. Instead, I just like gave you the cold shoulder in a class.
We don't have to get into that one. But yeah, I feel like we're kind of in the same boat as well. Like when I got here, same thing. Like, you know, just kind of kept myself. And I think it kind of went under the radar. Like, you know, we were, and I feel like it even still applies today. Like we're in that studio all the time. It's not because like, you know, we're supposed to. We don't have anywhere else to go.
Yeah. I mean, and I even met someone last night at the, we did an inception fair. Mm-hmm. We did a little training seminar. And she was, I can't remember her name. I feel so bad. But she looked like kind of alone and like a little scared. And she said she just transferred in from a community college. And I went over and like, you know, helped her out with whatever she needed to be helped out with and introduced her to like Natalie and Stephanie and like Maddie. And you know, it seemed like she, you know, seemed a little bit nicer, like more comfortable.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, you can come into the studio anytime, because we've like had like an open door policy. People can just come in,
right,
and you know, hang out there and feel safe there.
Yeah.
So I mean, I hope, you know, that helps with helping people.
It seems so little, like just to go, let's just keep the door open. But, you know, I know, like, for the two of us last year, and I'm sure many can echo our sentiments, like, we wish that was intact last year a lot more than it was.
Yeah, because I'd walk by, and there'd be people in there, and I wouldn't feel comfortable to go in there.
Yeah.
It just felt, you know, a little bit more hostile. But this year, like, everyone is, like, really about producing, like, great quality TV and, like, having fun doing it.
Yeah. And we're all friends, seems like, too.
Yeah.
I mean, have the same conversation in about 6 months.
Yeah. But
like, you know, it's just destined to happen with people. But, you know, for the most part, all of us are very much, you know, close. And we've grown together in the last year, a lot of us that have been here since the fall. And it is really nice to see. I don't think it's really like kind of, I mean, you were important. I mean, not that you're not important, but you had, you know, an important position last winter semester. So, like, you know, you kind of had that idea going into this year, what it was going to be like. But I feel like for a lot of us now that, like, we're the ones that have to go show everybody, and I'm sure you maybe can feel the same way. It's like, little bit like, whoa, I feel like I just got here myself.
Yeah, it's a little bit overwhelming. And I wasn't given a lot of training on what I needed to do in my position as original productions director, but I had to make it my own and learn and, you know, do a little trial and error and do what felt right for me and, you know, maybe ask a few times, like, what's going on. But I was never really given any help. And that's something also, sometimes you just have to take the initiative and, you know, figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
No, I agree with that as well. But now, you know, we're kind of moving to now. We talked a lot about the past and the present. Let's talk a little bit about the future. You know, you walk out of here, and I know it's, you know, a couple months. So you still have a lot of time. Mm-hmm. But what's next for you once you're out of here? Do you have any idea, or is it just going to be kind of playing it by ear?
What's next? I originally was thinking about going into news. I still would like to do that, but it's going to be interesting because I think the next logical step is to apply to the sports position because I have all that experience now in the live sports production field with ESPN. Yeah. So luckily, I'm very lucky to be living in Connecticut where we have NBC Sports, we have WWE, we have ESPN, all three headquarters in Connecticut.
Yeah.
So I can try and get a job at either one of them. If that doesn't work out, then I'll probably go to news. And if that doesn't work out,
I'll be right back here.
I'll be right back up here getting a master's degree.
Well, we'll welcome you back with open arms, I'm sure. But you shouldn't, I mean, genuinely, and I feel like I say this at the end of every single one, and but this one, like, you know, genuinely, not that the other ones weren't, but this one specifically, like, you'll be fine. Like, you, just from seeing, like, even early on, like, you're always doing something. You always have, you know, you're always coiling up one of the XLRs, or you're everywhere. You're doing these things, and the fact that you're always so willing to do it, and that, you know, you haven't, you know, sat back and said, okay, what's going to get handed to me? You've gone and you've said, there's an opportunity, I'm going to take that. There's one, I'm going to take that. And you've done that. And it's been, like I say, it's been really cool as somebody who kind of entered into this at the same time as you did to just see you, like, grow in that way and go, you know, okay, look at Jill. Look what she's doing. And now how can I do that? How can I be, like, more like Jill? And that's, I'm not even, like, you know, bullshitting you. I'm telling you, like, legit. Like, that's, I think that a lot. Like, how do I go? How do I do kind of follow the same path as Jill?
Yeah. I mean, it's just a lot of, like, scouring the internet
like
hours of the night trying to find that next gig. That's really all it is. I mean, and the sports here at WTOP, they really do get you prepared.
Yeah.
A lot of the lingo is the same. There's a few different things that, like, are out there, but that's, you know, I want to eventually get them, like, integrated into WTOP, so, like, when people do try and go out and get freelance jobs, they can understand a little bit, even if they're like, oh, well, we've been doing it like this for how many years? I'm like, okay, big deal. We've been doing it like this in the professional world for...
Yeah.
So, I mean, but, yeah, it's just really... I don't know what else to say.
No, I agree. I'll ask you one final question before we get into the quiz. You know, typically... At least it's been this way, or it's, I guess, the stereotype for the last probably forever since TV's probably been starting, is that sports is like a man's world, and that it's very much, you know, it's male dominated, and that, you know, women, they do news, they don't do sports. You have always been such a very big factor in sports, especially here at TOP. How have you kind of, you know, defied those, like, stereotypes, quote unquote, and, you know, really grown as a woman in sports?
So if any girls are out there, just like go and do a live sporting event. I promise you, like, boys are not that scary. I know they're like, they have their like little cliques and they want to talk about sports all the time. You might not understand. I don't understand sports too. Cool. Like, you know, somebody just got a touchdown. Awesome. I don't care what team it is. But you just got to, you know, find something to talk to them about. And maybe they'll stop talking about sports for 5 minutes and talk to you. But if they're not going to talk to you, like, you know, big deal. Like,
yeah, just do the work.
Just do the work. And eventually they'll be like, oh, yeah, that person's really good at their job. Like, we should start hanging out with them. You know, we got to talk to them more.
Huh.
So it's really just, you know, I'm going to say, like, all the time, it's really, like, let your work speak for you.
Yeah.
And everything else will follow.
I think that's very fair to take away from that is, you know, it might seem daunting, but, you know, at the same time, you're there to do work, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, might as well try it, give it a shot. But, Jill, yeah. Before you came in, I had you do the VIA character quiz. If you want to take the quiz at home, let me get the link up. It's www.viacharacter.org. So I probably could have memorized that, but that's okay. But I had you take mm-hmm. the quiz, and it gave you a list of strengths at the end of it. And we're going to run through your top five. So what was your fifth strength?
My fifth strength? Okay, we're going from that way. Okay. Love of learning is my fifth strength. Mastering new skills, topics, and bodies of knowledge, whether on one's own or formally, related to the strength of curiosity, but also goes beyond it to describe the tendency to add systematically to what one knows.
Okay.
I don't know. I just like to learn. I think that's a thing that my boyfriend Mark kind of taught me, but I've always really liked to learn. Especially like my nerdy side. I will watch like videos about like one scene in a Broadway musical for hours because there's like something in that one scene, like one hand drop or one like gesture or one breath in a song that just means so much. And you just gotta really like, I just like learning about it
mm-hmm.
and learning the understanding and then trying to tell people about it, which they usually get annoyed about. But I really like doing that. And I really like to learn.
What was your fourth strength?
My fourth strength was spirituality.
Okay.
Having coherent beliefs about the higher purpose and meaning of the universe, knowing where one fits within a larger scheme, having beliefs about the meaning of life that shape conduct and provide comfort. So, I do have, like, a little bit of relationship with faith. I wouldn't say I'm, like, the biggest godly out there, but, you know, I definitely grew up in a town and with a family who really, like, loves faith and loves Jesus. But, I mean, I wouldn't consider myself, like, a full Jesus person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a Jesus freak, I guess. I like the song, I Love You, Jesus, by Trisha Paytas.
Okay, there you go.
But I really try to just learn from the tendencies of the commandments, because, like, there's good stuff in there. And I try and live my life so I don't hurt anybody else or, you know, just, like, treat love thy neighbor. That's what it is. You know, live by that tendency and not trying to, you know, like, push stuff on people, but, you know, I do have a little bit of a relationship there with, like, God, I guess.
Okay.
Then the third one.
Yeah.
Is fairness. Treating all people the same according to notions. Wait, I'm really bad at reading. Okay. Treating all the people the same according to the notions of fairness and justice. Not letting people feel biased decisions about others. Giving everyone a fair chance. I mean, you know, just kind of giving everybody a fair chance and, you know, being open and listening to everything and, you know, taking all the information and learning and figuring out what's the correct answer. So I try and give everything a fair shot, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about fairness.
No, that's fair.
I was kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your second strength?
Gratitude. being aware of and thankful for the good things that happen, taking time to express thanks. I guess when I've had hard times in the past, I've never tried to, like, you know, I don't know exactly what I did, but I just would wake up and be like, I'm thankful and grateful to be alive. I'm grateful that I have parents that, like, love each other. I'm grateful that I have clothes on my back. I'm grateful that I have a place to sleep. Just, like, listing that off every day and, like, you know, being grateful that I'm alive and have a wonderful life. And I'm in college and I have a boyfriend. Just, you know, I'm grateful for, you know, any small thing somebody does for me.
Nice. What's your top strength?
Honesty.
There you go.
Speaking the truth, but more broadly, presenting oneself in a genuine way and acting in a sincere way, being without pretenses, taking responsibility for one's feelings and actions. So I guess I am myself. I guess Jill Plant was the friends we made along the way.
I love it.
No, I mean, yeah, just being honest. I think I was traumatized one time in my life because there was this guy, he lived behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, trying to ask me out on dates or whatever. And I, like, pretended like I was into it. And, like, I really wasn't. I did this. Okay. And I just was, like, telling other people that I wasn't really into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he found out. And then just, like, straight up was, like, you know, you should have told me.
Yeah.
And I just, like, in that moment, I felt so embarrassed and... Like, this happened years ago, probably, like, in middle school.
Oh, wow.
But ever since then, I was, like, I can't lie anymore. Like, I can't lie to other people. Like, I'm probably too honest with my mom. being honest and being honest to yourself and taking responsibility for your actions and your feelings. Like, I don't ever try to blame stuff on anyone else. Like,
yeah.
There was one time in, like, middle school where... I think everybody in my class, we all cheated on a test, but I was the only one that didn't get caught. And then she was like, everyone but Jill has lunch detention. And I, like, raised my hand. And I was like, I cheated as well.
Oh, that's nice.
Because, like, you know, I don't know. It just, like, kind of irks me when I'm not honest.
Yeah.
So I'm a really bad liar, so don't tell me any of your secrets, I guess. And yeah, that's honesty, I guess.
So I think that, I mean, just from hearing, like, everything that you say leading up to the, like, mm-hmm. today, leading up to what your final strength was, seems very appropriate. You know, you're very honest. I've never had any issues with you as far as honesty goes.
Okay, HR.
No, I don't think I have, at least, unless I'm forgetting. But no, I mean, yeah, I think all of them are appropriate. And I can't really echo the sentiments enough about you and just, mm-hmm. you know, how sad it's going to be when you leave, at least from my end.
I've been getting that a lot, and it's kind of, it's really blowing my mind.
I feel like it's genuinely going to be just weird not having you around.
Well,
so I appreciate you.
City of Seco Admissions Department, yeah. You know, this is your fault.
I wouldn't have been here, so I'll take the year that we got. But Jill, man, it's been a pleasure. So thanks not just for this today, but just thanks for everything.
Oh. You're welcome.
But all right, let's wrap things up here. Thank you for watching for season 2, episode 1 of the Getting to Know You podcast. That's been Joe Plant. I've been Jacob Bradley, and I always forgot the quote last semester. I'm going to try to do better this semester. This one's actually from WTOP legend and veteran, I guess we could call him, Pat Machado. He said, shoot for the stars, and you'll at least end up on the moon. Shoot for the moon, and you'll never rise above the stars. So keep that in mind, and also listen more and speak less. So thank you for joining us, and talk to you very soon.